Welcome to Inside Ag. I'm Greg Gearing. Today we're talking with Rick McNary, the founder of Shop Kansas Farms, and Chad Hook, a Rice County farmer, about the Rice County Harvest Hub. Gentlemen, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us, Greg.
Thank you.
Rick, I want to get started with you. I know local food systems have been a passion of yours for a long time. Can you talk to us about just the components of what that is and how the Harvest Hub fits into your vision of increasing access to locally produced agricultural products?
Absolutely. In 2011, Dr. Kurt Kaster was having a conversation with me and explained what a local food system was and why it was necessary in regard to resilience mechanisms in case of bioterroristic threats to our global food supply chain. He broke it down into three things: production, growing a plant or an animal to a certain stage, and then processing, what you do after that animal or plant reaches that stage, and then distribution. So those three components, a production, processing, and distribution, are a food system.
Awesome. And Chad, how did you end up as the president of the Rice County Harvest Hub, and what's it been like trying to build this from the ground up?
Well, a lot of things have to give credit to Rick. He started off with that Shop Kansas Farms and coming to Rice County and hosting an event there. He got to know our economic development leader in our county, Stacy Clark. Stacy is a ball of energy, and Stacy and Rick got talking about creating a local food model. And she met with Teresa Boken, who's our local Farm Bureau Financial Services leader. And between Stacy, Teresa, and I, we kind of got a group of names together, and we met with Rick, I think, in the city hall in Lyons the very first time. And from that moment on, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with Rick's passion for creating these local food models. And things that I've often said many times to Rick is that that group was such a powerful group of leaders. I mean, if you had a weakness, there was somebody with some strengths that could pick it up. It was just really amazing. There was actually people with PhDs in soil science to, we actually had Doug Kiesling, who serves on, I think, food security. He's vice president for food security and exports. I'm not sure which division of what organization that is, but he's a very good leader. We had community directors, economic directors, and through the meetings, we found the energy. And all of a sudden, one day, the city manager from Lyons nominated me to be president. And I'm an honor. I mean, it's been awesome to be a leader of such a powerful, energetic group. So that's kind of the long version of how I ended up being president of Harvest Hub.
As president, what are your day-to-day duties, or how does this thing work in the real world?
Well, a lot of that comes down to reading lots of emails from Rick and the USDA, and also just getting out there in the public and visiting with the producers and seeing what they need so we can get them connected better with Shop Kansas Farms and to be able to get their products to people. A lot of people, they're limited as a producer, either by financial means of being able to expand their business, or they're just scared of regulations. And we hired a director, Christy Showalter, and we actually obtained funding for that through a USDA grant. I think it was about $140,000. We had some matching funds locally with that grant, but Christy she's really our doer. We come up with the ideas and she helps implement them. But the main thing that we do with Harvest Hub is just trying to figure out how to get the consumers the products that they're looking for also. Just as much as like Rick said, you know, on that deal talking about Kurt Kaster, you know, the production, processing, and distribution. Sometimes as a producer and as a farmer, I need to know what my consumers want. I can produce a lot of different products out here, but as you visit with these consumers, they tell us at Harvest Hub what they want. We can tell the producers that we're working with through our local members that are on Harvest Hub, and then we get those products to those people.
You mentioned the grant. Rick, maybe you can speak a little bit more to this USDA grant to help get some staff on board and work through this. What was the startup of this like? I know this is the first one that you've done. You're in works on some others here, but what did this process look like on your end?
It began with initial conversations with Stacy Clark and some of those others that Chad had just mentioned. I pitched the idea to Stacy and said, would you just listen to me? I have this idea of a regional food system that's based on two parallel tracks, like a train running down the track. One is economic development and the other one is community engagement. And they both have to be equal and the same. So the first thing we did was begin to engage the community at the city hall. And I shared the vision with them for what it looked like and then began walking them through the process of identifying first the producers in their region. And we put white note pads on the walls and wrote all kinds of names of people who are producing. And then I said, okay, let's talk about processing. And it was crickets. You know, there's no meat lockers, you're not near them. You know, you had to go somewhere. And as far as a commercial kitchen that could be used to process any kind of a vegetable or fruit to turn it into a value added, you know, nothing. I mean, there were like, well, maybe there's this over at the extension office and well, this is maybe out there, but there wasn't anything available to the public, which in 12 years of working on this, that's one of the gaps that I've seen in conversations as well as practical applications to food systems. Is it's missing the processing components, both with meat, because that's been diminishing until COVID, as well as especially with fruit and vegetables. So for example, if you grew a hoop house full of tomatoes, you've got to get rid of those pretty quickly, unless you can turn them into Uncle Buck's salsa. And then suddenly you have a shelf-stable product that is perhaps a national market, but you have to have a commercial kitchen. So the other part of that, then we started looking at distribution. You know, how are these products that are currently being grown? Of course, it was largely commodities, although there was some specialty crop. And of course, if it's a vegetable, it's got to be distributed through the farmer's market in the summer. So you're talking about seasonal. So we looked at that, identified, okay, here's what we have. And then how do we build this out to where it's sustainable economically? And there's a model that I use that the community engagement part is built on five different principles. And this is really critical. Chad's been in these meetings with me. He knows that I just keep going back to this saying, if we don't do this community engagement thing right, you know, the rest of it's not going to stand. It's a parallel track. So those five things are, one is a common agenda. As you start bringing the various stakeholders together in a community, how do you establish a common agenda and a common vision, a shared vision? And Harvest Hub did that. They were able to sit down and hammer out, this is who we are, this is where we're going. The other part of that is, how do you start sharing measurements? That's the second principle. This guides this. If you're going to move the needle on anything, you've got to know what that needle is before you start. It's the old axiom in business. You work what you measure. It's just whatever you're measuring is what you're going to work to. The third part of that is, especially with communities, is mutually reinforcing activities. So Harvest Hub, and I'm watching what they're doing, and they're popping these things up where this one things connects to that thing over there, because it's those connecting things of the activities that is critical to support something that is local. As you know, whether it's here in Kansas or whether it's in Washington, D.C., we get stuck in our silos. The right hand does not know what the left hand is doing. So these reinforcing activities make you aware of what all is going on to support the model. And then the fourth component is continuous communication. That is the most difficult, as I work with communities, even my own little hometown of Potwin, Kansas. Communication nowadays, it used to be if there was a newspaper and the church bulletins and the coffee shop, everybody knew what was going on. And now there's a real disconnect. So you have to be a lot more deliberate with the continuous communication and use the various aspects. There is a newspaper, yes, but there's also a postal board down by the post office. And yes, there's signs you can, you have to be multifaceted. And then the fifth thing was standing up a backbone organization, because the people involved in the Harvest Hub, they have jobs, they have careers, they're busy. collectively they see the vision, but there needs to be somebody that can administrate their vision. And that's where they stood up the Harvest Hub. I keep my eyes out for, you know, USDA and KDA foundations. There's a lot of money right now being targeted towards how do we build these resilient food systems. So I identified some for them, and Stacy and some of those got together and they wrote a grant. I helped them work on it, tweak the language, and they got between all of the USDA grant as well as grants from the city and funds from Rice County Farm Bureau contributed significantly to it. It ended up being $143,000 thereabouts. And so that's what they've been able to do to first launch their 501c3. And I've done a lot of that, so I helped them work through that process. And then from there, they've hired Christy as their director, and that's kind of how that process has worked through.
Rick, you mentioned value added, and I think that's so important with something like this, is that it's keeping that value in the local community too, rather than having a commodity that's grown there, shipped somewhere else where it's refined into something new and then brought back to the community. What's it been like to see some of these new products developed in Rice County through the Harvest Hub, and what are those products that people are producing there?
Oh, Greg, I'd like to touch on this first with a neighboring county and what happened when it didn't work out well to support the local value added. So Tim and Connie Gross had started Turkey Knob Farm. They had the farm and they were growing jalapenos. They started making jalapeno butter, which has to be done in a commercial kitchen. They placed their first order on the Shop Kansas Farms during COVID, and they thought their computer broke. Because it was just going crazy. It was binging and dinging, and they got 880 orders in one day. And of course, you know, they are now shipping that product all over the United States, but because there wasn't a commercial kitchen there in their county or to the capacity to help them, and they truly weren't really interested in, you know, building one, you know, they were at that age. It's like, you know, this is going, how can we do something? They've moved near Kansas City to be near somebody. It's a tremendous loss to that county that they did not support the production and the processing of that for that thing. So, but as far as speaking specifically to Rice County and value added things, Chad would probably be more in tune with that than I am.
So locally right now, as we started, we got two new honey suppliers that have become members of our Harvest Hub. We help with the community kitchen that Rick was describing earlier up in Bushton. Alan Seamer is actually on the board of the directors for that community kitchen. And we provided a lot of more just insight and talking time with Alan to try to help them get a business template in place and then also take care of liability for them. And that was, again, going back to that awesome group that we got. We had an insurance agent in the room that could actually help him walk through and figure out what he needed to have for coverage with that kitchen. We have identified one local beef grower that really none of us, kind of sad to say that none of us really knew about, but he's actually got some data on his beef about how the marbling is at a higher percent than you can find on some competitive marbling scales of other steaks and different types of cuts. We handed out flyers at our Fair in the Square event back 2 weeks ago. A lady came by and actually gave us a sample of some granola bars that she'd like to produce and sell locally. And then we had a guy named Mr. Hall who actually loves to freeze dry Skittles is what he started off with. And he went from Skittles to freeze drying lemon heads or warheads or whatever they're called. And then he got started on apples and bananas. And him and I sat there at Fair in the Square and visited for about 30 minutes. And as a wrestling coach, I told him, I said, you know, I've got athletes that could really utilize a freeze-dried apple or banana product. I said, but something that we need is nutritional facts. So we're actually working with him to get him on board with getting nutritional labeling on his products. So that way we can actually take it to the coaches of wrestling teams in our local communities. And he's excited. He can't get this label done quick enough and get the data that he need. And those are just all examples of what Harvest Hub has done. And that's that's just a small touch on for producers. On the other end of it is the consumer side. Like I said, with my wife earlier, I was talking about how she runs a child care center in Sterling. She is actually very knowledgeable with our food program for our daycares and schools and stuff like that. She's actually trying to help me create a curriculum module to be able to utilize through Shop Kansas Farms. And we started on this a couple nights ago. Rick's probably not fully even aware of this himself yet, but we started going through and looking at Shop Kansas Farm producers that are marketing products and being able to see what childcare centers and schools can purchase already. And some of the Shop Kansas Farm people have the right labeling that people, that daycare centers can purchase already, and some of them don't. And we're hoping to be able to work with Shop Kansas Farms with our Harvest Hub with them to be able to get those products labeled correctly so that way their local units or local childcare centers, whether it's in Rice County or out of our county, can buy those products. So those are all examples of what Harvest Hub is really working on right now.
Excellent. Rick, I know that this has been a passion of yours, and I know you're working with some other communities, but for both you and Chad, what advice do you have for others who are listening and maybe considering creating something similar to what Rice County has?
We have some information on our website about building a local food community, and we have a white paper that we can send to people that are interested in reading and getting more into the concepts behind it all. So there's a place on our website that just says build community, and they can go and find information there. And of course, you know me, I'm happy to talk with anybody about any time about something like this. Communities are inviting me in and Megan in. We went into Mount Hope yesterday. We've been going to Caldwell. Others are popping up saying, hey, we want to see what this looks like. And we go with some initial conversations. We just tell the people if they want to have a conversation, bring some, you know, key stakeholders to begin the conversation. We'll lay out the vision, begin thinking about what that looks like. We also offer a 2-year consulting program where we work with this community, whatever chooses us to come in and work with them, because there's so much more. We know there are a lot of people who have the interest and the passion to get together. But there has to be some infrastructure that goes in behind this as you go. So one of the ways that these things often fall apart is you get a lot of people that are coming to the table and involved, and then they kind of trickle away and nobody remembers who all was there and what happened to that person and how come they're not here. And so that continuous communication, we actually bring in a CRM and start establishing a customer relation management platform to connect those dots, because as this grows, that's critical. It's all about relationships. The other thing that we bring to the table in all of this is the connections to the money that we know is out there to help fund these types of things. I watch this stuff like a hawk. It's coming down the pike every day, new grant money from the feds, from the state, from foundations, and those are up. And that, so it's not just us coming in and saying, hey, here's what you need to do, go do it. We become their partner and do the stuff they don't have the time to do, nor the expertise to really bring all this together. But our goal is by the end of our 2-year time with them, we have stood up an organization, a unit within their community that is totally branded with them. It's about their community. It's got all their people engaged, and it's financially stable and not dependent upon grants. That's really critical to understand in all of this. It's one of the challenges that I've seen in 12 years of working with food systems is a tremendous amount of money is spent, is donated, given, granted, or whatever. And then everything is wonderful until the grant money comes out or runs out. And I know Chad's a businessman, and Stacy in economic development, and the people that are there are thinking, how do we generate revenue streams that are not, I mean, grants are wonderful, and as long as they're there, but it can't be sustainable just on that. And so that's part of our model too, is helping them build a business plan that has positive ROI with revenue, various revenue streams.
Chad, as somebody who is living it there in Rice County, what's been your experience, and what would you tell somebody who's maybe considering being president of their own Harvest Hub?
Well, I think that all will come naturally when you find that group of leaders in your community. That group will pick that right person. Something about being a farmer and being a wrestling coach is my unwillingness to fail. I'm very, very driven. I will put as much time into something as we need to get into it to get it done. And that can also, Rick warned me, you can burn yourself out. And you've got to find a balance with that. And continuous communication, like Rick said, that I think that is the biggest component for success in this, in developing a Harvest Hub in your local community. The communication that Rick and I have in the fun, I mean, we talk business some days and we talk fun some days, and I'll send them videos of being out in the field of what a tractor ride is like. And we have fun and we get serious and we get busy. And I think that's the biggest key to this, is knowing with the Harvest Hub that you've got Kansas Farm Bureau, Shop Kansas Farms, and then that Harvest Hub model. And I really don't think that there's much that can go wrong when you get those community leaders engaging with those organizations.
Anything else that I missed that we should address here this afternoon?
I'd like to give a shout out to the Central Prairie Co-op in Sterling, which is a part of Rice County. They've stood up a storefront in their building there on Main Street to provide opportunities for their farmers who do direct to consumer sales to have a storefront there available for people. That's a big deal. That's a part of that distribution channel that is really critical, and I'd love to see more co-ops do that around the state.
Awesome. Once again, gentlemen, thanks for coming on Inside Ag. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
If you've enjoyed the podcast, please give it a like and share with others. I'm Greg Deering, and this has been Inside Ag from Kansas Farm Bureau, the voice of agriculture.